Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Yatharth Hospital's Q3 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, you can signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shrikant Akolkar from Nuvama Wealth Management Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, good day everyone, and thank you, Bhumi. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, we welcome you all to the Q3 and nine-month FY26 earnings conference call of Yatharth Hospital & Trauma Care Services Limited. From the management side, we have with us today Mr. Yatharth Tyagi, Full-Time Director, Mr. Amit Kumar Singh, Group Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Nitin Gupta, President, Finance and Group Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Pankaj Prabhakar, Group Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Ashutosh Kumar Jha, Group Chief Strategy, M&A, and Investor Relations, and Mr. Sonu Goyal, Group Financial Controller. I now hand over the conference call to Mr. Yatharth Tyagi for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, Yatharth.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Yatharth Hospital & Trauma Care Services Limited's earnings conference call for the quarter ended December 31, 2025. Our earnings presentation is available on the stock exchange and on our website. We hope you have had the opportunity to review it. Quarter 3 FY26 marked yet another quarter of industry-leading performance for Yatharth Hospitals, with a robust 46% YOY revenue growth trajectory, delivering our highest-ever quarterly revenue and profitability. Our standout highlight this quarter has been the rapid scale-up of our newly operational New Delhi and Faridabad Sector 20 hospitals. In the first full quarter of operations, these hospitals generated rupees 279 million in revenue, contributing 9% to group's revenues. Faridabad Sector 20 has already reached a monthly revenue run rate of rupees 7 to 8 crores within just 3 months of launch, while New Delhi is delivering close to rupees 5 crores of monthly revenue run rate. Both these hospitals derived 100% of their revenues from cash and TPA, that is, private insurances, reflecting our focus towards payer mix from day one of operations. On the operating metrics, they demonstrated strong initial ARPOB performance also, with New Delhi at approx rupees 40,000 and Faridabad Sector 20 at rupees 36,000. These levers are higher than group average, underscoring the quality of case mix and the clinical offerings from day one on our new hospitals. With the addition of Faridabad Sector 20, alongside our earlier started Greater Faridabad Hospital that commenced operations last fiscal, Yatharth has now emerged as the most preferred healthcare chain in the Faridabad region. This has been achieved through strategic investments in star clinicians, high-end and complex super specialties, and state-of-the-art technology, including robotics-enabled care from the inception. Our Greater Faridabad facility, which achieved break-even in quarter 1 FY26, continues to contribute meaningfully not only to revenue but also to profitability, with its EBITDA margin now approaching the group average. These outcomes reinforce the strong target identification, integration, and scale-up of capabilities, as well as our focus on achieving profitability in new facilities within short time frames. Moving to a recent expansion, the Agra Hospital has now been fully integrated into the Yatharth network, effective February 1, 2026. The hospital is already a fully operational facility with strong visibility in its micro market, and we are confident that it will contribute meaningfully to revenue and EBITDA from this quarter. Moving on, clinical excellence remains at the core of our value proposition. During the quarter, our teams delivered several advanced and complex interventions, including a successful management of pan-brachial plexus injury using high-precision intercostal to musculocutaneous nerve transfer to restore key motor functions. In another treatment of a rare congenital urological condition, left uretericle with duplex collection system complicated by uretic stones and severe hydronephrosis through advanced minimal invasive endourological surgery was performed. We also completed a 13-peroneal endoscopic myotomy POEM procedure in 2 months, demonstrating our leadership in scar-free endoscopic therapy across the region. These outcomes highlight the depth of clinical expertise across our network and strengthen our positioning as a leading quaternary care provider. Some of our key clinicians were also recognized with marquee national awards this quarter, further strengthening our clinical reputation. With the Jewar Airport expected to begin operations soon, we have accelerated our medical value travel initiatives and continue to gain traction. During the quarter, we expanded international outreach through OPD operations in Mauritius, Nigeria, and Turkmenistan. We also hosted delegation visits and hospital tours from Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and strengthening our diplomatic and healthcare partnerships through this. We further conducted partner engagement events with stakeholders across Africa and Iraq. Looking ahead, our focus will remain on accelerating the ramp-up of new facilities like New Delhi, Faridabad Sector 20, and Agra hospitals, while continuing to drive operational efficiencies across the network. We are already seeing encouraging signs from the recent CGHS price revision, benefiting both our top line and bottom line. And we further remain confident and committed to clinical excellence, disciplined execution, and strong governance, and are confident in our ability to deliver sustained value to all our stakeholders. Quarter three has been an exceptional performance by the company, and we further expect, due to the integration of the new hospitals in our network, that quarter four would even be better than the quarter three numbers. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Pankaj Prabhakar for a detailed financial update.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am pleased to share that Yatharth Hospital has delivered a stellar performance this quarter. During quarter 3 FY26, we achieved a revenue of rupees 3,205 million, reflecting a strong growth of 46% year over year and 15% growth quarter over quarter. This strong growth was driven by our existing hospitals, which sustained a robust growth trajectory of 33% year over year, as well as our newly operational hospital, which contributed to rupees 279 million in revenue, 9% to group's revenue, in their first full quarter of operations. Occupancy across our hospital network stood healthy at 67% during quarter three, with our key hospital, Noida, operating at 91%, Greater Noida at 74%, Noida Extension at 61%, and Jhansi Orchha at 72% during the quarter. Our newer facilities saw promising adoption with healthy volume at our Greater Faridabad, New Delhi, and Faridabad Sector 20 Hospital, demonstrating Jakarta's position as a preferred healthcare provider in the region. Our ARPOB was up by 10% year over year to Rs. 33,744 in quarter three, driving by our continued emphasis on improving our mix of high-value super specialities and investment in the state-of-the-art medical infrastructure. Our Noida Extension Hospital achieved its highest ever ARPOB of approximately 44,000, up 16% year over year, supported by approximately 70% contribution from super specialty services, of which 18% came from oncology treatment. Even in initial days of their operation, our New Delhi Hospital achieved an ARPOB of approximately Rs. 40,000, while Faridabad Sector 20 achieved an ARPOB of Rs. 36,000, which are higher than the group average. Our other hospitals in Greater Noida, and Jhansi Orchha registered an ARPOB of approximately 39,000 plus 14% year over year, Rs. 31,000, that is 8% year over year, and Rs. 14,000 respectively. On the profitability front, we have achieved our highest ever EBITDA at Rs. 742 million, up by 35% year over year. Adjusting for the initial ramp-up losses at our newly operationalized New Delhi and Faridabad Sector 20 hospitals, our adjusted EBITDA margin stood strong at 29.2%, led by operating leverage, mixed improvement, and positive impact of price revision in government business. New profit, net profit after tax stood at Rs. 431 million, up by 41% year over year, while adjusted PAT up by 80% year over year. With a strong execution engine in place, we remain confident of sustaining the accelerated growth momentum while enhancing operational efficiencies and exploring new avenues for growth. Our robust balance sheet position with a strong net cash position provides us ample financial headroom to capitalize on sustained growth opportunities as it comes. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to hand over the call to the moderator for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Priyanshu Jain from Infinity. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is on the revenue mix side. So as of today, by the end of Q3, what is the revenue mix from the cash and TPA and from government side?
So, you know, the current revenue mix from the government side is close to 35%, and the remaining is equally divided with cash and private insurances. The recent quarter, you know, with the promises the new hospitals have shown on the cash and private insurances segment side, we believe quite confident remain that in the coming quarters, we should be inching towards reduction in our government mix, you know, like our initial target. And I feel in two and a half years' time, our government mix should be reduced somewhere close to 25 to 28%.
So 2 years down the line, we are aiming for 25%-30%, like approx.
2 years down the line, government business should be lesser than 30%.
Okay. So my second question is on the brownfield expansion, as we are going for 3,000 beds going forward. So like, till what time we can think that this might be operational?
Yeah. So we are talking of the, you know, addition of almost 3,000 beds, you know, to take the total cumulative beds to 5,000 in the next 3 years, where we have mentioned that the deals will be announced by then the next 3 years, and the operationalization of the hospitals will be in 4 to 5 years, you know, over a period of time.
Okay. And so, like, are we, as of today, what's the net cash on the balance sheet, like, if we are aiming for any acquisition going forward? And are we, like...
So current cash and bank position, yeah, as on 31st December, at a console level, is coming close to 200 CR.
Okay, and like, we are aiming for any acquisition as of today, because we have like acquired many hospitals in last few years. So like, are we in still like looking for it?
See, acquisitions will definitely happen over the course of coming you know, years. So we do have a good strong cash position, as well as, you know, we can always take certain debt. However, internal accruals are also quite strong. So I think using all these three mixes, we are well in position to fund our CapEx for the next, you know, good 3 years.
Okay, so just last two questions. What is the right now CapEx per bed, like as of today, if we go for it?
So as of today, CapEx per bed should be around 60 lakhs per bed. Because, you know, there were a lot of hospitals that we started 10 years ago where the construction as well as the land prices were quite cheap that time, and slowly we had upgraded to medical equipments. But if you look at our newer hospitals, that is the Delhi, the Faridabad, the both the Faridabad hospitals, there the capex per bed is much higher. I think there the capex per bed would be in the tune of upwards of, you know, 80 to 90,000 capex per bed, 80 lakhs per bed. So that's the current capex per bed plan.
Okay. So last question is on this. I just wanted to know that there is a recent incident where one of the relatives have go for a knee replacement surgery, and like, suppose it's take an example, it's around 2 lakh rupees in cash. Is it possible that an insurance, while like hospitals do practices these kind of activities where, like, if in cash segment, if they deal, they go for 2 lakh, but like, if the patient is having an insurance policy, they make it up to 2.5 lakhs or 3 lakhs? Like.
No, it's absolutely not. I mean, that's this pricing already fixed. So if the cash is, let's say, 2 lakh rupees, in fact, for the insurance, it will be a lesser, effectively to us. I mean, what is the landing price to us? Because that's agreement is signed, rates are already, you know, freezed. So you can't make a change. And it's not a manual that's, you know, if I wish, I can change it. So that's not the practice. Always the cash will be the higher this thing, then will be some insurance, and then the government business. This is the practice.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Surya Narayan Nayak from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. I hope I am audible. So, a couple of questions. One is that, now, if you can throw some light on or give the numbers regarding the newer hospitals, I mean, census beds and the ramp up strategy going forward for FY27, and regarding the Agra unit also same, if you can give the ARPO currently we are enjoying, and the, what is the status of census beds there, and what is the plan in FY27?
So basically, as of now, we have a capacity of around 2,550 beds, including the Agra of 250 beds. In totality, we have a plan to go around 5,000 to 6,000 beds, as we just told in the other question as well. In the ramp-up stage, we may come to around an additional 3,000 beds in the coming 3 to 4 years down the line. And on the occupancy front, we are at 67% on a blended numbers. And the ARPOB is
My limited question was related to the newer hospitals, newer facilities.
For the modern town, which is in Delhi, we have a kind of a occupancy of 38% on the 100 beds, census beds. We have a capacity of around 300 beds there in the Delhi, which will be taking up as the demands come in the coming quarters. We have another new hospital in Sector 20, Faridabad, in which we have an occupancy of 43% in this quarter, with the, again 125 beds on the operation levels, which has a capacity of around 400 beds. Agra, we have just started in the month of February. We have started it out, having current operational beds of around 150, which we will going to expand to around 250 beds in the coming quarters.
Can we expect 50% occupancy next year?
Yeah, definitely. See, Faridabad, if you see, this started 3 months back and 2.5-3 months back. It's presently with the 125 beds as operational, 43% occupancy. And without having any panel, in fact, not full-fledged even insurance and TPS, right? So definitely that is very promising, these numbers as of now. Even the same goes for Delhi as well. It's still 100% insurances are yet to come. I mean, with all government channels or even corporate and PSUs, which are dependent on the various states, there's still negotiation going on. So I think by end of quarter four, or probably the beginning of quarter four, the next 2 months, I think we should be full-fledged with all, empanelments. Then we expect that's more than 50% occupancy in the coming quarters. Coming to the Agra, which we started just 1st of February, current ARPOB, because that's running hospital, it's presently at 26,000 kind of ARPOB. By having us over there with the, starting with the super specialties and others, we believe that we can easily take it up by next quarter, I think anything between 30,000-32,000 kind of ARPOB.
Okay, so and regarding the Agra unit compared to the other facilities, our understanding is that the acquisition cost is a little bit higher side. So how do you plan to make it at par with the other NCR region facilities? What is the case mix and all?
Yeah, so see, Agra Hospital, it is the one of the, and I would say the best infrastructure hospital within not just Agra, but, even up till a radius of 100 kilometer in that whole region. It's a fully super specialty hospital. It has all the machines, including MRI, cath lab, and, there's also space available for further expansion. It's a full NABH hospital. There were multiple ways why we felt the value is right. It is already a running hospital, and the hospital, in last, if I talk about 12 months, has had a revenue of close to 45 to 50 crores and is almost now EBITDA positive and P&L positive also. So from February, when it is on our books, we do not need to incur any more losses to make it profitable. So we also add that sort of, to justify that value, because otherwise when we start a new hospital, it takes 15 months and more cash losses to get that into profitability. But it is already from February when it is on our books, not just it is contributing meaningfully to the revenue, but also contributing to EBITDA as well as profitability. So, we are quite confident. We have huge plans for Agra. We already are in the process of appointing leading star doctors. In fact, just, this week itself, Agra Hospital has been, placed with Da Vinci surgical robot, which is not just Agra's, but in that region, one of the first robotic surgery is going to happen. So, we feel Agra will contribute meaningfully to our coming quarters.
And in terms of payer mix, just to want to understand, even in case of TPA, is it possible to give a breakup of group policy versus retail policy, because retail policy happens to be a little profitable than the group policy. So is it possible to give the bifurcation of that?
I think largely, yes, it's a group is mainly about the, you know, corporate insurances and all you're talking about, I believe. So the retail business, yes, it's always higher in terms of the number, but I think it probably going to the 60-40% kind of, because that also depends on which area you are operating. Let's say if you are operating in Delhi NCR, where there are more corporates are there, right? So that percentage will be a different. If you are operating with Agra or probably the Meerut or some other region where the corporate spaces are not that much, that numbers will be a lesser. So that won't be any, you know, standard answer for it. That depends on unit to unit and the area where you are operating.
No, because this structurally, due to this GST benefits, the retail policies should rise. I mean, the quantum should rise. That is my understanding, and structurally it is positive. And thirdly, oncologists, I saw that, you know, our quantum of percentage is remaining same. So is there any facility constraint in our offerings, or is there any scope of increase going ahead?
So, first of all, it is not same. Our pie has increased, right? A percentage might look similar, but there is an absolute increase in the volume and the revenue coming from oncology this quarter and year on year. In fact, it's a significant increase. Also, it is to be noted that in the upcoming Faridabad and New Delhi hospitals, we will also be offering full scale of oncology service, which still have not started in this quarter. So going forward in these two hospitals, a new hospital, because oncology, you know, takes 5-6 months to start setting machines and complete, you know, bone marrow transplants and other high-end cancer surgeries. So in the coming quarters in the new hospitals, oncology will also begin. And that's where you'll also see an increase in the percentage, but also in an absolute number. Oncology, if I talk about, has significantly increased. In fact, if we compare, you know, year on year, oncology has, you know, increased from 63 crores to almost 85 crores, which is a significant jump.
So any guidance going ahead for oncology alone? I mean, for a couple of years?
Oncology today is, you know, contributing close to 10% of our overall specialty pie, which is, you know, if you compare 2-3 years ago, it was, you know, less than 4%. So we are quite confident that going forward with the two new hospitals now being fully fledged oncology services providers, we expect oncology to touch around 15% in, you know, less than 2 years' time. Maybe in a 1.5 years' time, we should be there.
And any influx in the medical tourism this quarter?
Yeah, absolutely. So the numbers have definitely increased. The percentage-wise, still is in a single digit, I would say. But it's quite encouraging, the kind of the initiatives which the international team has taken. Various OPD centers and the channel partners will be started. So we believe that, in fact, Jewar Airport is going to start probably by within a 2 months or something. That's a new deadline had come up. So we are very quite confident on this numbers. Absolute number definitely increase. And rather just only the numbers, you see that, you know, the geography which you touched upon in last entire, I mean, the whatever 8, 9 months, 10 months which we have worked on international. So we have touched various geography, and it's quite encouraging that patient has come from the all those geography. So I think it's a very good base has been created. Now we just have to capitalize it.
And case mix, oncology, apart from oncology, more or less the case mix will be remaining same, or will there be any change in neuroscience or something?
So as a totality, we are focusing on increase in our super specialty services versus specialties. So in the case mix also, you will see all the super specialties. So, you know, cardiology, neurosurgery, gastroenterology, and a couple of others combined together would be higher than, you know, let's say specialties like gynecology, internal medicine, basic orthopedic works. So that's where the shift you will see in the coming years, which we are already reflecting quarter on quarter.
Any guidance on the LOs going forward?
I think ALOS should be as per industry standard.
So it should be at 3 going forward?
It should be ALOS, because there's a couple of new hospitals coming up. You know, that's there are certain business calls we need to take. So I think it should be anything around close to 4, 4.3. That's quite acceptable. Within 4, 4.5, I think that's an acceptable number. Which we see that as you grow, probably the 2 years down the line, if you say, definitely there's going to be a lesser.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. Our next question is from the line of Ishika from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hope I'm audible. On the payer mix, your new hospitals seem to be driven largely by cash and TPA insurance with minimal government scheme contribution. Is this mix structural and expected to continue, or do you anticipate a meaningful shift towards government empanelment over the next 12 to 24 months?
This is very much strategically planned and expected. We, you know, as a group, you know, have always talked about in the past to reduce government mix, and that is what we are doing. I wouldn't say that it will remain zero after a year. Definitely it will increase, but I don't see in the newer hospitals government mix being more than, you know, somewhere 15 to 18% or maybe max for 20%. So ultimately, this is going forward, you will see. And ultimately, this is what will drive our, you know, debtor days and receivables to come down. So that is a strategic call that we have done, and we are able to showcase it with a strong attraction of cash and private insurance patients.
Okay, understood. That was helpful. And could you just please repeat your hospital-wise occupancy and ARPOB for Q3 FY26? For all your operating units?
Yeah, so the total occupancy is 67% on the blended basis. The Greater Noida Hospital, we have an occupancy of 74%. Noida, we have 91%. Noida Extension, we have 61%. Jhansi Orsha, we have 72%. Greater Faridabad, we have 60%. Border Town, we have 38%. And New Hospital Faridabad, we have 43%. And in totality, we have ARPOB of 33,744, out of which we have nearly around 39,000 of Greater Noida, 32,000 nearly we have Noida, Noida Extension we have 44,000 nearly, Jhansi Orsha we have nearly around 14,000, Greater Faridabad we have nearly around 35,000, Border Town we have nearly around 40,000, and Faridabad New One we have 36,000 nearly.
Okay, thank you. That was very helpful. Can I just squeeze in one last question? You had brownfield beds coming in for Greater Noida and Noida Extension. What is the current status?
1.5 years from now, I think we should be close to commissioning them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shreya Chatterjee from Ageless Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. My question was more about if you could give an EBITDA level breakdown for all the hospitals, and where do you see your EBITDA ramp up in the next 2 to 3 years? Would it be around 29-30%, or would it continue in the range of 24-25%?
See, I think unit-wise EBITDA is something, you know, right now it would not be a right estimate, because a lot of new hospitals and old hospitals are starting. So we are always calculating as a consolidated level, and also, you know, we have certain subsidies and certain hospitals are within the parent company. So, you know, in totality, 2-3 hospitals are within the Yatharth holding company, and then there are 2-3 subsidies comprising them. So I can talk about the group level EBITDA. So, you know, even if you look at it with the 2 new hospitals starting, even then, you know, we are almost a bit, in fact, higher than the last quarter 2 EBITDA margins. And without these 2 new hospitals, we would have been somewhere close to 28-29% of EBITDA. So I think the company is very well on track for our targeted EBITDA. We feel in the coming quarters, EBITDA margins at consolidated level will definitely increase. Because the major reason is that, you know, in the first 2 quarters when a hospital starts, like a New Delhi hospital and Faridabad 20, it is expected to be a bit of drag, but by the 3rd or the 4th quarter of their operations, that is reduced. Also, very positive is the Agra hospital that we started is not an EBITDA drag at all. So that is also another reason whatever condition it will have will add to the EBITDA. So we are quite confident in the coming quarters EBITDA margins will increase. And no, we are not targeting, you know, 28-29% EBITDAs even in, let's say, in 2-3 years, because there will constantly be new additions, new hospitals. As you know, we earlier mentioned, we want to be somewhere around 5,000 bed capacity within next 3-3.5 years. So that will mean a lot of EBITDA drags from the upcoming hospitals. But at a consolidated level, we feel somewhere around, you know, 24-25% EBITDA margin would be a right estimation. Yes, if you remove all the new hospitals that we'll be starting, the EBITDA margins would be somewhere around 3-3.5% more than the consolidated average.
Got it, sir. And also, with your current payer mix, what is the receivable days as of Q3 26? And where do you posit it to go maybe in FY27 to 28? Also on ARPOB, like right now you have really ramped up well, but maybe in 2 years' time at the console level, where do you see your ARPOB going up with the oncology picking up and everything else?
So in September 2025, we have reported around 116 receivable days. In December also, we are very, very much close to the same receivable days, and we are very much hopeful to close March 2027 with receivable days less than 110.
And what about going forward, like in the next 2 years when your government portion will, like CGHS portion will fall down to around 25-28%? What receivable days can we expect to observe in that time?
So after 2 years down the line, as we already mentioned, we will reduce our government mix, we will increase our cash and TPA business. And as we already mentioned, our both the hospitals, we have started with the cash and TPA business only. After 2 years or 3 years down the line, we will very much close to 80 or 82 days.
Got it, sir. And what about the ARPOB guidance? In the, it was just an extension. It was just an extension of the question. What about the ARPOB guidance in maybe FY27 to 28?
If you look at it, that's even in last numbers, which you see that year on year, we are growing more than 10% of our ARPOB. So I think that's, you can easily guess over there. And even the current numbers, which you see the kind of node extension, greater node, other hospital has grown. So 10% ARPOB year on year, I think that's quite easily achievable for us. That's what our guidelines.
Okay, so thank you. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Stock Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on the great set of numbers. I had a couple of questions. We had expected some margin pressure given the contribution from newly opened hospitals. But like you said, EBITDA margins have broadly remained stable QOQ also. So the question is that what helped offset this drag in this particular quarter? Were there any specific factors that we should not be assuming that will repeat in Q4?
Sorry, there's a lot of background noise to your line. So, you know, there were a lot of good EBITDA traction we gained from our existing hospitals. So other than the new hospitals, our existing hospitals are ramping up good oncology business. They're ramping up good even ARPOB, right? So ARPOB of HPC node extension has increased upwards of 15% year on year. Similarly, greater Noida. So even our existing hospitals, you know, older hospitals are growing at a good rate. So that has led to this, you know, margin being sustainable.
And further, if you see our model town hospital also, we started in Q2 and the losses have been reduced from Q2 to Q3. So in Q3, there is a 50% reduction in losses in model town hospital itself.
Yes. And also going forward with the new CGHS rate revision, which has been the, we saw in December, full December, and now we will be seeing from 1st January in the whole quarter four. That will also, you know, help going forward to, you know, contribute to our EBITDA margins significantly.
So, is it fair to assume that the older hospitals, the margins from older hospitals were much higher than the drag that could have come from the newly opened hospitals?
Yes, that's true. That's true. And also, like, as we mentioned that quarter two, quarter three, the new hospital's drag was also less because of, you know, the increase in the business.
But then do we expect that in Q4 or Q1 maybe?
Yes, definitely, definitely. As I mentioned, okay, you know, okay. The EBITDA margins should be better from here on in the coming quarters for sure.
Understood. And could you also help us understand how much of the increase in employee expenses is attributable to the labor code change versus the normal hiring and the ramp up at the newer hospitals?
See, based on the recent changes which has brought by the labor code, we don't have any significant impact on us. we are mostly aligned to our current structure as per the proposed routes. However, minor impact may come as the change of the basic pay, which has been impacted to the gratuity. And we don't have any major impact on the other fronts like bonus act or the leave encashment. And in totality, we perceive that we have a complete assessment in place, and we don't have any major impact in this financial year due to this new labor codes.
Okay, and in the ne- so if it is not coming in this financial year, it won't be coming in the next financial year too.
We are already in line to the kind of a proposed structure. Our structure is already in line. So there is no gaps to have any financial impact measure in this financial year. Obviously, in the next financial year, it will be aligned already. So there is no financial impact which will be coming in the place in the financials.
Fantastic, fantastic. And just the last one, wanted to know on the MVT business. So because there was a mention about the benefits and the union budget did mention about the promoting medical tourism. So do you think any incremental benefit will be coming to us?
Yeah, so, you know, we would see around 5 to 6% increase in the cost that, you know, we would be benefiting from the from that. That's our estimation on that specific business.
Got it. Thanks. I have more questions. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit from PI Asset. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. Sir, we can notice a sharp increase in the other expense. Was it because of one-time marketing or empanelment of star doctors? And are the costs expected to taper down in FY27 or should we assume the same run rate?
So if you see, there is a quarter-on-quarter increase at a console level, majorly because of the new hospital additions. And in both the new hospitals, we have added the complete doctor cost. That's the only reason. Major change is because of the doctor cost only. If you see in our active hospital, there is no major change. Yeah.
So we should assume this as the new normal, right?
Yeah, this is now normal and there will not be any major increase now.
Understood. And sir, what is the CapEx for FY27? I missed that figure.
Please pardon?
What is the CapEx for FY27?
So, you know, we have given an overall CapEx for next, 5 years. These will be announced within, let's say, 3.5 years, but the total deployment of the CapEx will take 5 years' time, and that is around 1,500 crores for, you know, getting us a bed capacity of close to 5,000 beds.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Akshat Mehta from Seven Rivers Holding. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. So the first question that I have maybe for Yatharth himself is that if you assume that the overall trade receivable days in the business is 110, then that would, and assuming that 35% of the businesses is from your government and 65% is split evenly between cash and TPA, that would imply that your government business receivable days are north of 245, 250 days. Is that the right way to look at it?
So, I mean, there are certain payers, you know, within, let's say, TPAs also, which does drag. Because majority of the TPA business is received, the payment is received within time, but then there are certain exceptions and with the certain things. So that also contributes a bit. But yes, I would still say what you mentioned, it would be close to that, but not exactly to that amount.
It varies. Even government also.
But there are other listed payers who have indicated that their receivable days on the government business is sub 130, 140 days. So why is it that we are at the closer to 250 and what are we doing to bring that down specifically?
Yeah, so I don't think it's closer to 250. I think it's closer to 200 first. And second is, you know, as we've also stated in the past, there was a certain reason that this led to, especially if you look at, you know, a year ago, when we got increased with the infrastructure, there were a lot of government business that we onboarded, right? So our systems and processes took time to upgrade ourselves, right? It's not that it's all 100% on the government, only the receivables. There are certain frameworks and systems within the hospital which allows faster recovery. So we were not having it initially. If I talk about in last 1 year, the reason why we have generated close to 60 to 70% OCF EBITDA is a way where, you know, we've optimized the process. In fact, recently, there have been certain teams that have been outsourced for recovery to get faster recovery, which are already working for certain other hospitals that you have mentioned. So we have learned from their example and deployed the same, you know, network of facilities within our hospital. So that also has led to this reduction. And other than just the pure decrease in the government share, which will ultimately bring this down, a better recovery and better, you know, follow-ups from R is also helping us to achieve this.
Got it. My second question is around the trade.
Also, sorry, just one
sure.
Last thing I would also ask you. A lot of, when you mention other hospital chains, some of them also don't do the exact same payer of government mix that we do, right? There's a government payer called ESI that many other hospital chains, they don't do. ESI has been shown typically in the past to have a slow, you know, payment cycle. And I would say around, you know, 30 to 40, 35% of our, you know, outstanding with the government is specifically from ESI channels. So that has also led to an increase, which is not standard across other hospital chains.
Okay. That clarifies it. Thank you. My second question is around your trade receivables again. In your annual report, there was a reduction in overall trade receivables to the tune of 20 crores. And in FY24, the number was around 35 crores. So implying almost a 6 and 11% reduction respectively. What was the reason for that reduction and how should we look at it moving forward?
This is on the basis of the collections, as we already mentioned. Na? So from last one or more than 1 year, we are working on the rigorous collections. We have implemented all the protocols to have better billing processes, better dispatch processes, and all the recovery processes.
No, I'm talking about there was a write. I'm talking about a write-off in trade receivables.
Write-off. So,
see, as a prudence policy, we generally have the provision for the doubtful debts. But certainly, very minuscule of the bad debts generally comes. We don't have any bad debts as of now. We generally make the provision as a prudence based on the kind of a principle of the accounting. But based on the trends, we see that our deductions is coming down and generally our provision is being reversing over the period. So
yeah. So basically what you're mentioning to deduction is basically not a write-off of any debt, but basically it is certain bills which are, you know, contested by the payer mix, and then that's what the deduction comes to. Just like, you know, let's say any private insurance company, there are certain deductions happening bill on bill basis. So that was that case.
And how should we look at it moving forward? Should we assume a similar percentage in the coming years, quarters as well?
So our deduction overall as a group level is reducing from last 2 years. You can see from our reported results also. And the same trend we will follow, but it is not 1 or 2%. Yes, it will be decreased. And parallel, we are taking a provision for the non-collected amount also.
Got it. Great, that clarifies it. Thank you. And congratulations on
Thank
a good
you.
Set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shubham Harne from Purnartha Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. What risk do you foresee due to entry of new chain hospitals in Noida region?
See, I think in such a, rather than risk, we feel that it's good for our business, because when any territory, when more and more hospital comes, you know, that territory gets developed, you know, so you move, it attracts, your catchment gets increased, you know, people come. So I think everyone will have a pie. I'll give you an example. I mean, in our territory, 2-3 new hospital has come with the new brands and new entry. But still, I think we have grown more than 30%. And with even an existing hospital, I see that growth was more than 25%. So I mean, it's all how you look at it, right? We personally believe that yes, you need to be aware with your competitor what they do it. But if you are, you know, working with your core strength more and more players coming in, I mean, be focused. Be on limelight. People will always will come to you. That's fine. We don't see, I mean, reduction in the pie, to be very honest.
And do you foresee any poaching of doctors from your institute to other institute?
Yeah, it's a part and parcel. Believe you me, any hospitals enter into any territory, they try to look at it, which one is doing good, who are the good doctors. We also do it, right? When we enter in a Delhi, we did the same thing. We enter in Faridabad, we did the same thing. So it's a part and parcel. And we as a hospital, we are prepared for this, right? So one go, other can come. So this is how it is.
Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Akhilesh Rawat from Radhanta Vision Private Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Rawat,
Hi.
Has been unmuted. Yeah, please go ahead.
Hi. So first of all, I would like to congratulate management on good sets of numbers. So I have just one quick question and all my questions are answered. I just want to understand what is our current receivable days as of now? Group hospitals.
So current receivable days as a group, as a console level, is coming around 115 days. And as I already mentioned in the earlier question, this will be reduced and come down between 105 to 110. By March 2027.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Anand B. from Kesima Wealth Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey, congratulations on the good set of numbers. I just have two questions. One is the IT issue has been completely resolved right now?
Yeah, so, all the attachments and the, freezing of any asset or everything has been removed. And we are in the final stages. We are expecting very soon that matter to be resolved. So, yes, it's going as per plan.
But when you think the matter will be completely resolved, like, you give it as a timeline or so, quarterly or something?
See, I mean, these are industry standard. I think sometime, in the coming quarters, definitely it will. Even though the matter which was on the emphasis has already been resolved in the last quarter. So for us, it's more of a formality now which is remaining.
Okay. My final question is, can you just repeat the ARPOB numbers for each of the hospitals again? And what are your expectations of the ARPOB, let's say, in FY27 and FY28 for each of the hospitals?
So, yes, on the blended basis, our ARPOB is 33,744, out of which we can say the Greater Noida having an ARPOB of nearly around 39,000. Noida Hospital, we have an ARPOB of nearly 32,000. Noida Station, we have an ARPOB of nearly around 44,000. Jhansi Orchha, we have ARPOB of 14,000. Greater Faridabad, we have a hospital ARPOB of nearly 34,000. Moulton, we have an ARPOB of 40,000. And the Faridabad new one, we have an ARPOB of 36,000.
And where do you see the ARPOB?
So you can see that the trend we are calling up, having a kind of a rise or growth of 10% every year on a year basis. And the same we can expect that we have a growth of around another 10% in the coming period.
Got it. But you mentioned for Agra, the ARPOB expectation is around 30,000 to 32,000. But for the newer hospitals like Delhi and Faridabad, do you have like similar expectations also for FY27, FY28?
Yes. The territory we are following in Delhi and the Faridabad is different from the Agra. The Agra, we are believing that it will be ARPOB having a touch around 30,000. The same way, and it's a good ARPOB in terms of the territory of the Tier 2 city.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Umakant from Vyanch Ventures Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Chief. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Most of my questions have been answered. I've just got, just one quick question. Could you just touch down a little bit about the margin profile at where do we stand currently on your Greater Faridabad Hospital as well as the model town? The reason I ask this question is because I just want to get a clarity in terms of how much use do we further have to scale up the mature hospital margin profile from 29, can it go to, let's say, a further X percentage? So if you could just throw just some color around that, and even on the Jhansi, what is the margin profile currently?
So I think, as we mentioned that if we remove the newer hospitals of Model Town and Sector 20, right, Sector 20 in Greater Faridabad, two different hospitals. So the Sector 20 in Model Town hospitals, removing them, the group margins comes to 29%. But in this, the major contributor are from our, the Greater Noida, the Sector 110 Noida and Noida Extension hospitals, because, these are earlier started hospitals. If I talk about, some hospitals like Jhansi or even the Greater Faridabad, because they were started almost, 2 years and 1.5 years back time, there the margin would be, still reaching close to, 20% upwards, but it is basically the 29% margin figure that you are getting at a consolidated level without the new hospitals is primarily because of the Noida hospitals. However, going forward, we feel even without the newer hospitals, the margins, we do not expect them to rapidly rise above these levels because there are certain, even though occupancy ramp up will happen, but there is high quality growth that is happening, right? We're also growing RPOP wise. We're also changing our payer mix. We are reducing government pay, not just in the new hospitals, but even our earlier hospitals. So for that, there are certain cost expenditures that we have to do. So the margins for other than new hospitals would roughly remain in the same line and will not increase significantly.
Okay, got it. Just to follow up on this one, first question, when we say that I think we have incurred a loss of about 10 CR in our newer hospital, that is Sector 20 and Model Town, about we've run losses of about 20 at our operational level, do we, now that we'll be at one point, do we will be ramping it up? So do we expect this losses to widen before we start seeing the margins expansion, turning positive? And secondly, what is the occupancy that we, let's say, see, when do we see a healthy level of occupancy in these two hospitals?
No, sir, the losses, as we mentioned earlier, so all the, the cost centers which you see, so all the, expenditure has been done, mainly the, for newer hospitals, the doctor cost and the employee cost already placed. Now the cost related to their business. So, coming quarters, these losses should come. And what I can tell you, think that Faridabad, probably we will do a break even probably much earlier. In fact, probably well within the 12 months, which will be a really very good set of, I mean, that's what expectations coming and the kind of business trend coming in last 3 months. Similarly, Model Town, which we see, I think within the 15 months, which we should have operational break even. So we don't see any losses coming up. It's whatever the losses would be, that's related to the directly proportional to the whatever business we acquire. What was the second question of yours? I missed that second line.
Regarding the occupancy in these two, when do we see a healthy level of occupancy?
So when we do a full phase, as of now, I think Faridabad is operating with around 125 operational bed and Model Town is around 120 beds. But when we have a full phase as a Model Town 300 bed and Faridabad is the 400 bed. I think anything between 30-35% of the full operational bed, I think will be a break even. And next, probably, as I said it, within the 12 months or 15 months, I think we would be very much achieve those targets.
Got it. Perfect. And then my second question was, if you could just provide some, any further updates on your future expansion plans, would it be led by any greenfield expansion or brownfield? And if it's a brownfield, what kind of a size are we looking at, and what will be the what capex per bed we are comfortable with, and also just some color on the geography.
So as we have mentioned, we are targeting to reach to close to 5,000 beds in the next 3 years in terms of announced deals.
And of course, the deployment can be over the next 4 to 5 years because there will be a mix of greenfield, brownfield, and asset-light expansion. And the combined capex that we are planning for this is around 1,500 crores. So this would be coming to around 60 lakhs per bed because there is a mix of greenfield and asset-light. And this will be in the geography of first priority as NCR and the priority two as major cities in North India.
So just one clarification. So when you say we are targeting a 1,500 crore capex, I'm assuming we're talking only about the 2,000 of the incremental because we've already planned for 6,500 brownfield, right? It's the Noida and Noida extension, we've already planned it. So 2,000 for 1,500. So we are saying that... Yeah, exactly. Acha. So and we are so we are saying that we are going to be just at 60 lakh. That's quite a less number, right? Like I mean, if you get it, that's
because
great, fantastic.
Asset-light like, models also. So there are
asset-light
models where we are not spending on land and building. We will be only bringing in the equipment. That kind of models also we are exploring.
Oh wow! Okay, great. Sure, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Subhanu Bangal from Three Head Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hope I am audible. Good afternoon. Sir, as you mentioned, Q4 will be better than Q3 and EBITDA margin will be going forward will be improved. What kind of EBITDA margin we are targeting in FY27? This is my first question.
So as we have indicated that since we are in a growth phase, we will keep on adding more hospitals and we will ramp up the latest additions of hospitals. So our guidance for the blended EBITDA margin is the range of 24 to 25% on a consolidated level.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for tuning to Yatharth Hospitals and Trauma Care Service Limited's earning conference call for the quarter ended December 31, 2025. We hope you are able to answer all your queries and thank you for your questions.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect.